With Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Memorial Day savings for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
This was last week at the Alabama Pro Day 1. Andy Dwyer sneaking in behind Mac Jones. Landon Dickerson, the guy who tore the ACL during the season, played in the championship game despite the injury. I love that. And yesterday, how about this? Cartwheel, Andy Dwyer back again. I swear that guy's Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec. I love that. I love Landon Dickerson. Hopefully he gets drafted and he brings his annex to the NFL. All right, it was a big day yesterday.
Well, first of all,
cartwheel. Can you? There's no way you can do a cartwheel, not with those long ass arms and long ass legs.
No, I can't.
You'll hit your head on the ground.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can get close. I feel like it's something I could do if I gave it a little practice. But like, I never really got into like trying to do cartwheels. But no, I don't think I could really do it to that effect. That was like a perfect starfish cartwheel there. How about you? What about you, Bobby Big Chest?
No, cannot. Yeah. Cannot. Will not. Never even tried. What is the purpose of the cartwheel? What is it ever going to do for you? Is it ever going to do anything to help you in life? Think about it. It's not going to impress girls when you're in high school.
You don't
hey,
know,
look,
you
I
don't
can
know
do a cartwheel.
He might have got a girl last night on that. Go look at how great those cartwheels are. Look at me. I'm a like, big dancing bear.
It's never going to get you out of trouble. Like, I have to make a quick getaway. Let me do a cartwheel. There's no benefit of any kind from doing a cartwheel. So why waste your time learning to do something that has no benefit whatsoever to your life?
Well,
that's my position.
Okay. I'm
that's
sure
my justification for being unable to do
that
it.
That really have no benefit to your life, but you still do
everything
it.
I do, everything I do benefits my life. Everything I do either works to my strategic advantage or makes me happy.
Okay.
I don't do anything that either doesn't help my bigger interests or makes me happy.
All right.
If you're doing that, you're living wrong.
Cartwheels.
If you're doing anything other than the things that help you or make you happy, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. Cartwheels in the grass in the summertime might make you feel happy. You never know. But yeah, I cannot do it. But that again speaks to the athleticism that with some of these offensive linemen they have. Just how flexible and pliable they are to do that type of stuff. I think people would be shocked at how good those big guys are at that type of stuff.
But again, I don't know what could happen.
If it could help you do the
backflip, that would require a guy to do it.
Well,
do a
the one thing you see people like guys do it to help them gain the momentum to get going for the backflips, right? When people do that sometimes. I mean, I could see that maybe being the benefit if you want to learn how to do backflips. But again, that's not on my resume either.
But what is it? Right. What do you benefit from doing a backflip?
They're great on touchdown dances. Ask Tyreek Hill. I love his backflip.
True.
You know?
Okay. Mac Jones in the pro day. Let's start with, what do we want to start with? You want to start with Mac Jones? Let's start with Mac Jones.
Okay.
That's the guy we've been talking about so much over the course of the last 5 days because Some believe, many are saying, that the 49ers moved up to number three to get Mac Jones, including the guy with the insight into the brain of Kyle Shanahan, Christopher David Sims, calling his shot that Shanny moved up to get Mac Jones, and it was Shanahan present at the Mac Jones Pro Day when he could have gone to Ohio State instead. And as Shanahan said Monday, no reason to be coy at this point. They got their third pick locked in. They know they're going to get whoever's left after Trevor Lawrence and presumably Zach Wilson. So what did you think of the Mac Jones Pro Day? Second time he threw, but yeah, this time future employers standing there inspecting what Jones was able to do or not do.
Oh, well, I thought it was a better workout than his first one. I think that's where I would start baseline. Like, he just let it fly a little bit more. He was a little more aggressive altogether. The first workout, I felt like there was a little bit of the, you know, okay, I just want to be accurate and complete the passes and, you know, just kind of check the boxes that way. I feel like this one, there was a little bit more urgency and his drop and the way he approached just throwing the ball. He made it a little bit more like game-like with, oh, I'm gonna pump here and then throw here and move in the pocket and do that type of stuff. But more than anything, I just think it was the throws themselves. There definitely was more power in his throws, you know, velocity, the way the ball spin, those type of things, some more aggressive down the field throws than we saw the first time around. Again, he's not going to be the kind of guy that we're going to get done with a workout and go, oh wow, I'm drooling all over myself, this is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. No, what he's going to do is you're going to go, damn, he doesn't miss throws, damn, he's got quick feet, damn, it's effortless for him to throw every ball, damn, he has every club in the bag. You know, he's got the pitching wedge, he's got the driver, he's got the six iron. He could throw the ball with any which trajectory he needs. That's the beauty of Mac Jones. It's not going to be, whoa, how explosive is his arm and all that. His arm is plenty explosive. It's plenty good, but it's not going to be Mahomes or Zach Wilson or some of the, or even a Justin Fields as far as the power in his arm.
Usually what happens at a pro day workout, it's all scripted, it's all rehearsed, it all goes perfectly, except for Teddy Bridgewater in 2014 when he did his pro day workout and took his gloves off.
Uh-oh.
That was the mistake he made. Yeah. That's the one pro day workout that stands out as
right? It
was a disaster. Usually it all goes well. Usually it all looks good. Usually everything about it, we say, wow, 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 which causes a moment from yesterday's Mac Jones workout to stand out a little bit, because it gave Kyle Shanahan potentially a little flashback, Chris. Here's the deep throw from Mac Jones. Guy's wide open. He's the only guy out there. Oh, and he overthrows him by 5 yards. And there's the Curb Your Enthusiasm music as Kyle Shanahan looks on, because he remembers this.
Right.
Now, different circumstances, obviously, higher degree of difficulty than the pro day workout. I don't know what to make of that moment. You tell me what you make of Mac Jones with Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch there watching, overthrowing by 5 yards the guy who was down the field with no one covering, no rush that was hurrying Mac Jones. It was fish in a barrel. He just missed the barrel.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, again, you could take a lot of the great quarterbacks in football and they could go throw post routes like that and they're going to miss a few. You know, because it's you're throwing a ball high in the air. At times it's about, oh, wait, let me time my drop up with this guy. Did he hit it full speed from the get-go? Did he take more of a, you know, smooth approach from the get-go and use build-up speed and then get to the 12-yard mark and make a move and then go explode and do things like that? You know, there's a lot of factors that could go into missing that throw. That's nobody's going to evaluate that and think anything about it. There's no big deal at all. And especially, Mike, the big thing is, too, is when you go back to the film and you just go, wow, he doesn't miss these type of throws, you're not going to sit there and overanalyze that type of stuff on the field if it doesn't really show to be an issue in real games or anything like that. So I think that's the big thing. And you can watch plenty of Mac Jones film. And like I've said many a times, just the way they called the offense this year shows me that they thought he was a better down-the-field thrower, more aggressive thrower, stronger arm than Tua last year. I mean, they were not afraid to push the ball. And I don't think that'll be a problem with Mac Jones, and I don't think, you know, Kyle Shanahan or Bill Belichick or anything like that, is going to think twice about him missing that post route, you know, versus air.
I don't want to make excuses for the guy. He missed the throw. There was no one out there. He should have hit it. But based on my own limited athletic ability, I will say this. The more time you have to think about something, the greater the chance it's not going to go the way you want it to. When you don't have that luxury to really focus and you just have to do it, it's more mechanical and...
Agreed.
Wide open shot in basketball versus
not
having a hand
easy.
In your face.
Right.
Sometimes with a hand in your face, you just do what you have to do. When you have that wide open shot, you think, oh boy, I better not miss this. So again, what we saw yesterday and what we see in any of these pro day workouts, you're never going to see in a game because number one, they got pads on. Number two, there's other guys on the field. And number three, it's not scripted and rehearsed. And you're not going to have completely perfect pro days. But again, it's look, if Kyle Shanahan take someone if he was already planning to take Mac Jones.
Right.
And if he crosses him off the list because of that throw, then, you know, he's got to run the risk that the guy he gets ultimately isn't going to be as good when it's time to go out and play the games. And I if you're going to make that decision based on that one moment, that just would seem kind of odd to me.
No, come on. Everybody missed throws. I mean, you know, as much as I love Zach Wilson's workout and gushed about that, there was throws he missed. Trevor Lawrence, you know, Justin Fields, whatever. It's not going to be perfect. And, you know, again, yeah, you explained it a little bit. There is sometimes more pressure in this type of environment because you are thinking and, you know, thinking about what you've worked on. Oh, let me keep my shoulder in. All right, let me keep two hands on the ball and those type of things where you're not going to think about that during a game. You're worried about, wait, what did the coach tell me to read? Okay, wait, is that big dude about to crush me? Let me move out of the way. Whoa, he's barely open. Let me throw the ball. And at no point do any of the mechanics come into your mind. So there is that aspect. And, hey, also the guy running that route, could have just run three go routes in a row. Who knows? Maybe he was tired and just didn't hit, you know, sixth gear the same way he had earlier in the workout. Again, don't overanalyze. There's too much good on the film, and the workouts have been really good, too, to just go, okay, what I saw on film is confirmed by these workouts. It's a guy that's really smart, incredibly accurate with the ball, a really natural, fluid throwing motion, you know, with plenty of power in his arm. And what we saw again yesterday is he's a better athlete than people want to give him credit for. It's on the move. He makes a throw running to his left and fading away and throwing a go route down the left sideline. He makes plenty of throws on the run to go along with it. So he's not going to be a specimen, but he's a really damn good quarterback and can play the position the right way and has all the tools to play it the right way at the NFL level.
You make a good point, too. Quarterbacks are conditioned to always take the blame when there's a moment like that. We don't know whether or not there was a failure by the receiver to be where he should have been. And think of it this way. I don't know who it was that was running that route. But, you know, in a game setting, maybe you do find the extra gear. Maybe you do lay out and risk an injury.
Right.
You're not going to risk an injury at a pro day workout and screw up less than a month before draft day, wherever you may end up. Because you had to be a hero to prevent Mac Jones from having an overthrow. You're just not going to do that.
No.
You're not going to screw up your own interests to make a catch that maybe you could have made in a game setting.
Agreed. And, you know, honestly, at the end of the day, too, what would you rather him underthrow it? You know, I mean, we all know we'd like him to throw it perfect and hit the guy in stride. But, you know, I would also say when the receiver has to, like, slow down and catch the ball and do that,
That's a ball that gets picked off.
So exactly. That could be that. I think a lot of coaches would look at that in a lot of ways and go, well, that I'd rather him overthrow it and just let it go. Let me see what it looks like. Wait, you know, oh, wait, he's underthrown a few go routes now and a few post routes. Yeah, they were caught, but they were underthrown. Ooh, is arm strength a problem? You know, that's where that can start. Now that becomes a question if you saw that, you know, repeatedly throughout a process there, too. So. Again, let's not overanalyze with this. There was a lot of good in that pro day, and Mac Jones is going to be a real good NFL quarterback.
On the same day that Mac Jones and others were working out in Tuscaloosa for Alabama Pro Day 2, it was Ohio State Pro Day 1 in Columbus. Justin Fields had a Zach Wilson-type throw. It had a lot of people excited on social media. Afterward, Justin Fields explained that throw. Here's the question and Justin Fields' answer.
Justin, was that throw to CJ on the script before the world saw Zach Wilson do something similar last week? Because I know John scripted the workouts for both you guys.
Yeah, so it's actually funny. So me and, of course, Zach, we're both working out in California. So we kind of, you know, pretty much had a similar script in terms of what throws we were hitting, probably just different movements. But, so that throw was on there before I even left California. So, you know, I thought I could show that throw off. And, of course, that's what I showed today.
Hey, impressive throw. Reminded me of some of the throws he made against Clemson. He was fantastic in the Clemson game. And, you know, going into the 2020 college football season, and it was turned upside down far more than the NFL season because of the pandemic, it was Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Those were the two guys regarded as the top quarterbacks. And I thought Justin Fields really helped himself beating Trevor Lawrence the college football semifinal. But let's not get it twisted. And I don't want to take anything away from what Justin Fields did, sprinting to his left and throwing that ball down the left sideline. But that's not the Zach Wilson throw. The Zach Wilson throw is all of that plus flick of the wrist across the body, Chris, which is far more difficult. What Fields did was great.
Right.
What Wilson did was spectacular because it was across the body.
Right. Well, yeah, Wilson does this right. He's throwing it the other direction. So there's a much higher degree of difficulty with that throw.
Not across the body.
You're running
field, left and you throw right.
Right. Well, you're
running left and throw left. Yeah, running left and throw right.
Exactly. Running left, now fading left and throwing left. Your momentum's taking you there. It's easier to do that. Running left, fading left, and now throwing a post route across the field opposite of the direction your body and momentum are taking you definitely is a bigger degree of difficulty. Let alone, Mike, we saw him do it to the opposite side of the field on a 39-yard corner route, too. You know, Mike, you heard this analogy I said. Again, Justin Fields, what he did was really impressive. And like I said, you know, after the Zach Wilson workout, yeah, there's lots of quarterbacks that can do that. But it doesn't mean they can do it to the level that he can do it. That's where I want to – like, you know, there's a lot of guys that can dunk in the NBA. There's a lot of them. But they can't dunk like Jordan and LeBron. There's just something about the way they jump, the explosiveness, you know, how high they get, you know, their ability to hang in the air that extra second. Well, there's a difference there too. You know, it's like you said, the flick of the wrist, how quick the motion was from Zach Wilson, and then the way the ball explodes out of his hands is what makes it special. And I don't want to take anything away from Justin Fields either, because he did some awesome things in that workout yesterday. He's definitely going to make teams feel more comfortable about him and what he did in the process. He's fixed, he cleaned up some of the mechanical issues that you worry about. You know, not that I'm saying they're gone forever, but you could see that he's worked on them and thought about them a little bit. And he's got high-end talent. I mean, gosh, damn, he ran 4.4. He's 230-something pounds, and he has a rifle for an arm. And those are a lot of positive things for an NFL team to like.
We just played that big throw that was compared to the Wilson throw. And the one difference that cries out to me, and I think Justin Fields is going to be a great NFL player.
Yeah.
He put a hell of a lot more
air,
effort,
and air,
arm
yeah.
into that
right.
throw. The Wilson thing was just, it's that quick flick of the wrist that we see from Patrick Mahomes that I think is one of the big reasons why you've got Wilson ahead of all the other guys.
Right.
And you've got him at number two, or you've got him number one over Trevor Lawrence, even though you accept the fact that the Jaguars are locked in on Lawrence. You've got him all the way at number one because of that quality where you can get rid of the ball so quickly, so easily, any body position, any arm angle. Flick it like Patrick Mahomes. It's a rare talent, and we got another guy coming to the NFL who can do that on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and again, Justin Fields definitely has some elite traits and could be a big-time NFL starting quarterback. There's things to be excited about in his game. Yeah, but I'm not as excited about it as I am Zach Wilson. No. You know, again, what I'll take away from that, too, where I thought, ooh, maybe Justin Fields' arm is stronger if they just throw it as hard as they can, right, compared to Zach Wilson. But Zach Wilson can paint corners and throw the ball really hard in all the awkward positions. But, no, I come away from that workout yesterday going, no, Justin Fields' arm is not stronger than Zach Wilson's in any setting, in any form, in any throw, you know. But, yes, Wilson's workout was special. the quickness in the which that he throws the ball, the way he spins the ball, the way the ball explodes out of his hands is different. And it's not to say that these other guys aren't good, but to me, it stands out a little that way. And then, you know, you get into Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones. You know, the ball pops out of Trevor Lawrence's hand too. Maybe not to the same capacity. You know, Mac Jones is not up to Fields or Lawrence's capacity. But with Lawrence and Mac Jones have too, a little bit, I still, with Fields, the natural throwing motion. And at times, I think the thing that I didn't like about the workout was it was a little bit, you know, relaxed and I'm going to take a drop and I'm just going to make sure I complete the throw and do it that way, where I feel like Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, they drop back like it was a game and like somebody's in front of me and I got to throw the ball. And there was that type of urgency where I didn't feel like it was the same with Justin Fields. So again, I really like Justin Fields, but I think there's some things about his throwing that are just not on par with the top three or four guys in the draft as compared to them.
No doubt about Justin Fields' running ability. Man. Here he is running the 40-yard dash. 4.43, I think, is the number we saw. Chris, the caveat you've applied to all of the 40-yard dash times, it's not apples to apples in that it's not happening in Indianapolis. Laser timing, everyone there
right.
running under the similar conditions. The turf may be different. The vibe may be different. That's why they love the scouting combine. It gets them all in one place. But he's moving fast as fast, regardless of whether it's 4.45, 4.48, 4.42, 4.4. Or whatever, he's moving for a quarterback. 4.44 is the number that it was. So yeah.
That's insane.
Again, we don't know what that would have been at the scouting combine,
right.
but there's no doubting that Justin Fields can move when he needs to, and that's an important trait for a guy to have when he gets himself in trouble behind the line of scrimmage, whether it's buying time horizontally or taking off vertically. If you've got that speed, that's a difference, man.
That it is. I mean, that speed's real, no matter what. And you know, my general rule is at a tenth, right? So if it's 4.44, it's 4.54 at the NFL Combine. I think that's the rule that most teams kind of apply to players. The film shows that type of speed. You know, his running is special, and to me, that's where you know he's a tough prospect to evaluate a little bit because. You know, yeah, there's some rawness in the drop back pass game and decision making and some of the throws. But there is elite running ability that can make up for the issues that he might have in the pass game to help him, okay, buy some time and come along with that. You know, to where, you know, I'm a guy that I sit there and look at it and go, yeah, I don't think he should be a starter year one. You know, I think in his best world, he could be that guy to, like, let's learn behind somebody, fix some of the mechanical issues, learn how to be a pro, maybe late in the season if the team's bad, okay, something like that. But I do think he'd be the guy that would benefit from, you know, being behind someone. But I would think that there's teams out there that go, well, no, wait, you know, we can orchestrate an offense to where, you know, he can run, we can make defenses defend and have to worry about that quarterback run game, which can lead to really easy pass looks. And now some of the things he's not as good at, we don't have to worry about because teams are worried about stopping the run, and now we make the pass looks really easy for him. And I'm sure there's some teams that look at it that way and think he can be pro-ready and ready to go for next season.
And since there can be no private workouts this year because of the pandemic, there will be an Ohio State / Justin Fields Pro Day 2, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will be there for that one as they do their due diligence. Knowing Lawrence and Wilson will be gone, they're going to be picking Jones or Fields or Trey Lance, who
yeah.
knows, but they get their pick of the guys left over after the first two are off the board, and they're happy about that. Another guy that's out there that you have at number three on your
four.
List
number
of
four.
Top quarterbacks. Right. Is it four? Who's he behind? What are your first three?
Well, you know, I got Zach Wilson,
Jones.
Lawrence,
that's
Jones,
right.
and then Mond.
And Jones.
Right.
That's right. Number four. I misspoke. They know who we mean. Number four. Still a surprise because it's ahead of Fields and Lance.
Yeah.
Kellen Mond. He had his pro day workout at Texas A&M on Tuesday. Here's Mond after his workout.
Personally, I don't mind being underrated because at the end of the day, you know, especially when you get to the league, you're always going to have to depend on yourself and also the people around you to succeed. You know, a lot of guys and, you know, with me, You know, I've been through a lot of adversity before the season. If, you know, if somebody went to the media and told you, you know, Kellen Mond, you know, loses his number one receiver from the year before and loses, you know, his three other top receivers at the time, you know, would he have his best season, go 9-1 and, you know, pretty much have his best season? You know, I'm pretty sure 100% of people would have told me no. I don't mind being underrated because, you know, the chips are going to fall, you know, where everything and where it may. And, you know, so I just try to operate, be even keel, and, you know, everything will happen at the best time for me.
He specifically mentioned yesterday talking with the Steelers and the Bears. Of course, all teams can talk to as many of the candidates as they want, up to, I think it's 5 1-hour sessions on Zoom. So that doesn't have the significance as a visit would have, but clearly the Steelers and the Bears thinking about 2022 quarterback position. They're one of the teams that, you know, they know who they have this year. They don't know who they're going to have next year. And Mond in Chicago or Pittsburgh would be learning behind someone else and sitting for a year. But, you know, Chris, where do you think his realistic ceiling is? Despite what you think of him, and you would have him maybe even as high as a top 10 pick, where do you really think he's going to end up? What's the highest he could hope for?
I think that the thing I look at more than anything would be, you know, maybe he could be a guy that ends up getting drafted late in the first round with a team. Like, I know Bruce Arians made a comment about maybe they would think about drafting a quarterback at 32, right? To me, that would be Kellen Mond. That would be that guy right there, you know, and really – the Bears, Steelers, I would think there's a lot of thoughts there of, you know, second round pick two, you know. But I think ultimately, yeah, it's going to be the second round is what it sounds like. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't. I think this guy's got big-time talent. And I think he's just got big-time talent in the pocket to make all the throws, quick release, doesn't need space around him, can make unreal throws when the pocket's collapsing, all of those type of things. But, yeah, I think ultimately NFL teams are going to take this guy anywhere between, let's say, 25 and 45, Mike. I think that's about the general range where Kellen Mond will go in the draft.
And Bruce Arians did mention the possibility of taking a quarterback at number 32. You know, another possibility when you're holding that last spot in round one is to trade out with a team who's in round two, who didn't get a quarterback in round one,
right,
wants to swoop back in. That's a valuable spot. We've seen that happen with Teddy Bridgewater. It happened with Lamar Jackson, trading back to 32, getting the 5-year contract with the quarterback, and you avoid the Dak Prescott 4-year conundrum. And who knows what you can pick up by way of an extra draft pick or two by sliding out of that spot and going into round two.
That's right. You know, I mean, you think that the Bucs at 32 with the Kellen Mond, okay, maybe that could be a possibility. You know, I think that could be a great situation for Mond to be there for a year, learn from a Brady and everything else, and then take over if Brady does retire. You know, I also look at, like, hey, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Atlanta Falcons sitting there at number 36 in the second round. If they decided maybe they don't go Trey Lance at 4, which a lot of people have them rumored to do, you know, Kellen Mond, to me, I think would be the guy, a guy that would fancy their way of play. Arthur Smith, what he wants to do. Look at, here's Kellen Mond. He's similar to Ryan Tannehill in the way he just played in the Tennessee Titans offense that I've gotten this job for what I did there. I mean, that to me is another thought that has crossed my mind too, that Atlanta at the top of the second, maybe they even traded up to the late first, something around that area would make sense. And I think that's ultimately where I see Kellen Mond kind of falling to.
And you can really pick up, if you're the Bucs, you can really pick up some future assets and maybe some present assets by sliding back if the opportunity comes to you. It's a valuable, valuable pick to have that 32nd spot if there is a quarterback still lingering
right,
who has slid past all the others and is there on the board. He could end up being number 6, though, of the first-round quarterbacks, assuming all the others end up going in round one. It's going to be a fun draft from the standpoint of quarterbacks.
It is.
As I think what's happening is, and one of my pet peeves about the draft is, on draft night, no one ever is going to point out, you know what, there's a pretty good chance this guy's a bust. Every pick, every first-round pick, there's a pretty good chance he's never going to be very good. But in recent years, the success rate for quarterbacks, Chris, has gone up. The offenses are adapting to what the guys did in college that caused the teams to fall in love with them in the first place. So the idea of possibly six first-round quarterbacks and it not being like 83, where for every Dan Marino, there's a Tony Eason. For every Jim Kelly, there's a Todd Blackledge. You could get six first-rounders, and they could all end up being pretty damn good quarterbacks.
Definitely. Well, and there's more flexibility with the way these guys play. So there's more flexibility, too, within these new teams to find ways that they can still be successful with these guys. And, you know, like we've talked about so many times, too, Mike, teams have just realized, wait, if I'm going to draft this guy here, my name is attached to this. Like, I need to make this work. So the smart ones have done a great job and invested in supporting that top 10 quarterback or whatever it may be. You know, so, yes, I mean, you're right. There's not a lot of busts that you think about over the last few years. I mean, you know, right now, I mean, Josh Rosen, I guess, kind of fits that mold. You know, we have, like, the Christian Ponders and Dwayne Haskins so far to this point. Jake Locker from the Titans. I know, well, I'm missing some other ones.
2011. Yeah. I think the worm turned at some point in the last decade,
right,
where the success rate went up. 2011 was a disaster. It was Jake Locker at 8, Blaine Gabbert at 10. Both AFC South teams taking those guys when J.J. Watt was still on the board,
right,
who those AFC South teams had to deal with for the next decade, and then Christian Ponder at 12. That was the year without free agency before the draft. That was the year where teams got extra desperate in round one, and there was that 8, 10, 12, bust, bust, bust. But at some point since then, it shifted. At some point since then, teams realized, if we're going to take this guy, we're going to do everything in our power to make this guy successful. And we've seen the rate of success go up. Some point between 2011 and 2017-ish. I'd have to go back at every draft class and look. But I feel like the success rate has gotten higher in recent years. And not that they're going to go 6 for 6 this year if there are six first-round quarterbacks. But it just feels like you're not – and it's. I feel like teams are drafting fewer projects in round one.
Because I agree.
If you can't get a quarterback who can come in and play right away this year, we'll wait till next year and we'll get a quarterback who can come in and play then, because, you know, a lot of these teams with quarterback needs already have veterans who can play.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the reasons as well. You don't have as much of a roll of the dice at quarterback as you used to have.
No, definitely not. The quarterbacks too, I think, are, you know, more well schooled and ready to play in the NFL than ever before. But listen, at the end of the day, that's why I got Lance and Fields at 5 and 6. You know, because I do think there's project, there's issues there. You know, to me, it's not a slam dunk. There is, as great as some of their high-end talent is, there is a little bit of a bust factor for me with those guys. And that's why I got them there, because there's some issues with their throwing and things like that that, you know, I just don't think are as top-notch or as consistent as the top four guys I got on my board, at least.
Speaking of quarterbacks who were projects, Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years. Mark Murphy, the Packers president, was asked yesterday about Aaron Rodgers' current contract, and we'll tell you what Murphy didn't say next here on PFF.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Do summer projects your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
I'll say this. There's no way in heck that Aaron is not going to be on the Packers. I mean, he's going to be the MVP of the league. Might have had his best year ever. He's our unquestioned leader. And, you know, we're not idiots.
We're not idiots is a great slogan for really any sports team or other organization. Now, that was Mark Murphy, January 25, in the aftermath of Aaron Rodgers making that gratuitous right-hand turn at the post-game press conference after the Packers lost to the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship, basically saying that his future is in doubt as well as plenty of others, and made people wonder what he was getting at. Well, the one thing that I believe that Aaron Rodgers wants is security, that he's not on a year-to-year arrangement with the Packers. And the easiest way to give him that security is restructure his contract in a way that would create a prohibitive cap hit next year for trading him, and that would tie player and team together for two more years. So Murphy met with reporters yesterday and was asked about Aaron Rodgers' contract, Chris, and he had nothing to say. I can't get into specific players. We've been able to create cap room with others. They tried three times to get Murphy to talk about Rodgers. He refused. Probably a smart move, because anything you say can and will be used against you by Aaron Rodgers.
So, well, I mean, but what do you take away from that? I mean, I know you have your own personal thoughts. I'd like to know them, Conspiracy Mike or Reality Mike. I don't know where you're at yet with this, but well,
this is reality. This is reality. The Packers have, under the contract that they entered into with Aaron Rodgers, they have now the luxury of taking it a year at a time. They've got a guy they used a first-round pick and actually used a fourth-round pick to bump up a few spots to get in Jordan Love. They aren't just going to flush him down the commode because Aaron Rodgers was the MVP in 2020. They're sticking with Rodgers in 2021 because he was great in 2020.
Yeah.
And if he's great in 2021, they'll stick with him in 2022. If he's not great in 21, if this is the year that the slide begins and they decide after the season it's time to go with Jordan Love, they've got the flexibility to do it because the cap charge for trading Rodgers before June 1 of 2022 is manageable. If they would have done the maximum restructuring to get the maximum cap space so they could go out and maybe, you know, sign some players that would help them win a Super Bowl this year, it would have resulted in the Aaron Rodgers cap charge for trading him next year being so great they couldn't have done it. It would have been like $34, $35 million. I mean, they could have done it, but it would have really hurt. Would have been harder to do it, and it would have made it more likely Aaron Rodgers is still on the team in 2022. That, to me, is why they didn't do a restructuring with Rodgers. They want to have the flexibility to continue to treat him as a year-to-year employee. And this is where I think Mark Murphy is kind of a genius.
Yeah.
He knows that that'll piss off Aaron Rodgers and make it more likely he plays so well in 21 that they'll want him in 22.
Well, yeah, but you know the problem with that too, and as far as 2021 is, you know, you are rolling the dice on, of course, you know, pissing off Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, Liverpool, but yeah, I mean, you are, and the fact of, you know, to the point where, you know, again, if the year goes down the way it goes down and we still get into, man, there's just not enough weapons around Aaron Rodgers and things like that, and he has a good year, who's to say he doesn't call their bluff and say, okay, I've had enough, it's over? Or who's to say
he won't? He won't. They're banking on the fact that he won't, Chris, because he does not want to be the villain.
I know.
He does not want to be the bad guy. And that's where they're using his nature against him.
Right.
He never wants to be the guy who comes out and says, I want to go. He's pandered to the Packers fans for years. And I don't mean pander in a pejorative way. He doesn't want to get the Brett Favre treatment if he does leave. He wants it to be the team's fault, not his fault.
Yeah, well, I think no matter what, he's going to be able to some degree, it'll look like the team's fault. That's where I just get into it. And you're right. I mean, maybe he won't do it, you know, because of that. I don't know. I would also go like, man, people already have their own thoughts about you, Aaron Rodgers. You know, if you look on social media, there's a lot out there that don't love you and think you got all these issues and everything like that anyways. So, you know, screw those people or that you're worried about pandering to or anything like that. That's what I would say to that. But, you know, the other side of this, Mike, too, is, I mean, if he has here's the other thing that you risk a little bit. He has another year like he did this year, 48-5, and is the NFL MVP. And in that conversation again, he can ask for a new contract altogether. I mean, we know that right now he'd be every bit within his right to ask for more money and do that. So I think that
he may
could,
be.
That could be.
He may
issue.
Be.
Right, right.
I mean, he made it clear he was going to have the conversation. I was told he wants the contract because he wants the security. The restructuring would have given him the security without the Packers having to give him any more money. But even without the restructuring, the guy's making $33.5 million on his contract. Same as Jared Goff.
Yeah.
End of statement. I'd love to argue that case. All I'd have to do, Your Honor, may it please the court, Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million. Jared Goff, $33.5 million. See you later. That's it. That's all you got to say.
It is. It is all you got to say. If you named off a few other people, too, that are ahead of him on that list, too, you'd want to laugh to a degree. Carson Wentz is right there with them, all of that. There's some people that don't belong in that conversation. Again, we know Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback for the 2021 season, but I am very intrigued and interested to see where this goes after this year, because there's a lot of things that say trouble is on the horizon, or that there is going to be a clash of heads here between Rodgers and the organization at some point, and where they see the future going.
Let's take a break. When we return,
you look stupid, too, if Jordan Love is sitting there for 4 years in a row.
Yes.
At some point, that looks stupid, too.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry.
When we return, with the regular season expanding from 16 to 17 games, which single-season records are in grave danger? Is there another kind? More PFT Live right after this.
Talk, 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 talking, I'm talking, I'm talking.
Doody, doody, do. Do, doody, do, do. And I think, they both got each other, by the kahunas, for lack of a better phrase there, to where they love each other and they'll get something done. 10 o'clock in London. Hello.
Isn't it funny how dogs are so particular about finding the perfect spot that they then defile?
Got me all confused about my own life here.
What? How much does popcorn cost? Please, please protect my backside.
I'm told that some people on TV actually have to have someone come into the room and attach the IFB to the back of their shirt.
Oh,
that.
You're funny.
That.
You're funny.
High maintenance.
Lee Harvey Florio. The Vikings are going to win 50-0.
I'm a professional body watcher.
Have you been eating off the floor again?
Macy.
Here, Macy. Rip all the wires out.
Oompa, oompa, doompa dee doo. Your guy, John Gruden.
Yeah.
Beyond the fact, as I've said before, that he would be able to look eye to eye with his quarterback without getting on his tiptoes or his
steps. Whoa, okay. Strike three for the low blows today by you. Strike three.
I don't care. Fire me. You're so easily distracted. I mean, you're like a dog.
I am.
You just pull out a different toy and you're on a completely different topic, which is very useful at times.
Well, I like what you're saying. Talk dirty to me. Are you talking football?
Oh, stop. Do we have a drum roll sound effect? I know Chris has. it's like a drowning bear.
Those legs are get out of free jail cards, right?
I tell you what, I could gain 10 pounds by tomorrow if I had to. I have a feeling Talk Dirty to Me is going to show up in the best of March. Another month flown by. I was like, a best of March? What are you talking about? It's March 31st.
It's
yes,
crazy.
Tomorrow's April Fool's Day.
I know.
Beware April Fool's Day. Beware it now. Don't be sending me tweets and emails about Brett Favre making a comeback and Kyler Murray retiring to go play basketball like Muggsy Bogues. No, I don't want any of that because it's all fake tomorrow. I hate April 1st. All right. single season records that have the chance of falling now that we've gone to 17 games. Chris, you have a trivia question for me and I have a confession. I inadvertently looked it up during the break because I thought I was asking you, so I've kind of cheated.
Okay.
I know the answer.
All right. Well, fine. You could just take the first pick then. It was the prior to the NFL expanding from 14 to 16 games in 1978, who was the only QB to throw? I don't know the answer to this yet. To throw?
Do you know the answer? All right. You then the question is, who was the only quarterback to throw for 4,000 or more yards in a single season when it was only 14 games? You get the trivia question. I know the answer because I looked it up.
Well, it's Joe Namath, right?
Yes.
I was going to go Joe Namath or Fran Tarkenton. I couldn't remember which one it was, but I just, I'm a historian, and I remember the Joe Namath and just everything talking about, and that's the reason people talked about him as being, you know, the Dan Marino of his era and everything now, like that.
Technically, it's no one, because Joe Namath did it in 1967 with the New York Jets. That wasn't an NFL team at the time. So technically, Pete's making an excuse. Technically, it's an AFL record, not an NFL record. And the reason I looked it up is last night when I was looking at the records that could be in danger, I scrolled through at Pro Football Reference all the top passing seasons, all the biggest numbers, and I thought I saw none from the 14-game season in the 250 top seasons on there. And actually, the one that's on there is Joe Namath, 1967, 4,007 yards. The other 249 top seasons are all from 16-game seasons, which tells you what happens,
right,
especially for quarterbacks, when you expand the season. All right, go ahead. You got the first pick. Records in grave danger now that we have 17 games.
I think the first one that jumps to my mind is like single season reception, you know, for a year. And I'm like, right now, Michael Thomas, I know, is at 148. You know, that's an unbelievable
149.
It's an unbelievable number. It is. But with the way we see quarterbacks, receivers throw the ball, teams, how they feature wide receivers, I mean, we've seen so many guys kind of flirt with the high 130s, low 140s, all of that type of stuff. I just go, you give another a guy like a Michael Thomas or somebody that's got that type of offense one extra game, and one extra game could mean 12, 14 receptions, something like that. Yes, I'm going to go with that one right now. In the 2021 football season, the receptions, single-season receptions, is in trouble.
Well, and it's per game. That's the key. 9.3 catches per game got to 149 with 16. 8.8 gets you to 150 with 17 games. And by way of example, the year Marvin Harrison got 143, the record that Michael Thomas broke, that average would have put him at 151.
Yeah.
So
right,
that one is in serious danger. I'll tell you, the one that I would take as my first pick, the passing yardage record, even though it's 5477.
I know, I thought about it.
With 18 games, or 17 games, excuse me, with 18 games, it'll be even easier. With 17 games, you need 322.2 yards per game to break it. That really doesn't sound like much. 322.2 for 17 games gets you 5478.
No, it doesn't sound like that much. I guess, hey, that's still a big number, you know, as far as 5,400 yards. And, I mean, what was our leaders at this year as far as passing yards? I'm just pulling this up. I mean, we got to 4,800, right? And this year, where we talked about defenses being a little simple and not, you know, maybe being up to par with the offenses early part of the year, that's still 600 extra yards. I like that.
Dak Prescott, even though he got injured week five, he was on pace to shatter. He was on pace for 6,000,
right,
but that was just through four games.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll be interested with that one. I really will. All right, I'm going to throw one out here. Not that it, and again, there's no guarantee that any of these records fall this year, but how about 0-17? Yeah, we got a new benchmark for Loserville in the NFL. Will you be the first team to go 0-17? I mean, there was a time where we thought 0-16 was really hard to do, and then we saw teams like do it a lot over the last decade, and a few other teams really flirt with it in a lot of ways. So I just think it's only a matter of time here in the next two or three years before we see a team to go 0-17, and they can become the new basement bottom dwellers in the NFL.
Well, and the Browns of 2016.
The Browns ain't the Browns now.
That's right. And the Lions of 2008, they can get together,
right,
and pop the champagne when someone goes 0-17, unless it's one of those two franchises, which for the Browns, probably not possible. For the Lions, it's at least on the edge of the radar screen. Next one for me, the single-season receiving yardage record.
Yeah.
1964, 115.5 per game breaks it. 115.5 for 17 games. That breaks the record.
I hear you. I mean, again, with the NFL, the passing numbers, some of the talent of these receivers, things like that, I certainly could see that. There's no doubt. I mean, I feel like some of the receiving records will be the quickest ones to go down. I don't know why, but I feel that way more than the other ones. All right. You know, you're talking about 17 games. I'm going to go with Michael Strahan's sack record, you know, at 22.5. I mean, we've seen people flirt with the 20s over the last 10 years. You know, I think it was 2 years ago, 2018, Aaron Donald got 20.5. You know, 2019, we had two guys, I think, right around Shaq Barrett had 19.5. You give them an extra game there. Yes, I'm going to go with the single-season sack record is one of the ones that falls here sometimes in the near future.
And the Strahan record needs to fall. 20 years later, we've kind of forgotten about it, but there's an asterisk on that record because the last sack was a gift
Brett Favre
from
sliding.
Brett Favre, right. Who went rogue, rolled out in Strahan's direction, and slid
yeah.
So Strahan could touch him and get to 22.5. That's always bothered me. That's just bogus. He shouldn't have that record, and hopefully that record will fall, all due respect. Last one for me, most games played by someone in a season, because there have been, in the modern era, plenty of guys who have played 17 games because they've been traded before their team has a bye,
right.
And after their Ooh. New team has a bye. Emmanuel Sanders, the most recent one to do it. Others were Will Allen, Dexter Carter, Damon Harrison, Jerry Rice, Michael Ross, Will Witherspoon, all played 17 games. Somebody's going to play 18
yeah,
games.
You're right.
Somebody's going to get traded in a way that they can play 18 games in
one
year. All right, let's take a break. We will wrap up this Wednesday edition of PFT Live right after this. Notre Dame Pro Day today on NBCSN at 11 a.m. Eastern. A gentleman by the name of Chris Sims will be contributing to the coverage of the Notre Dame Pro Day. Chris, who are some of the guys you're going to be watching most closely?
Well, Notre Dame's got some players. I mean, of course they do. They've been to the Final Four two out of the last 3 years. So there's a quarterback, Ian Book. Of course, he's going to be interesting to watch, definitely. But the main headline guy is the guy at the top of this list, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Mike. He's one of the most fun watches in the whole NFL draft process. He will be a top 25 pick. I would be shocked. It might be earlier, but he is he's one of those guys. He could be Fred Warner, middle linebacker, Darius Leonard. He could be Cam Chancellor or something like that, safety. I don't know what you want to use him as, but either way, he's a heat-seeking missile, so it'll be fun to watch him. Got a few good offensive linemen there, Tommy Tremble. It should be a good group. Tune in and watch it.
And if you happen to be watching the re-air of the program on NBCSN, you don't have to do anything. It's going to lead right into the Pro Day. You get more Chris Sims.
Boom.
I don't know that that's a selling.
You
is
better
a selling
tune
point
in.
For people to keep
you
watching?
You better be in on it, Florio. I'm asking. We're like book report tomorrow. I'm going to ask questions about things I say, and we'll see if you watch.
I've actually got work to do.
Oh, sure
I'm going to be
do.
Eating chocolate-covered
blah,
pretzels.
Blah, blah,
I'll
blah.
Tune in
copy
with my
paste,
pretzels.
Copy
Everybody,
paste.
Have a great day.
Snarky
see
comment.
Tomorrow.
See ya.
Do summer projects your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with Memorial Day savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.